Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Children know the song, "He's got the whole world in his hands." Every power is at his disposal. Every authority under heaven and earth is his. He has created everything, and he holds everything in his eternal hands. And now, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments and, taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus holds the whole world in his hands. And what will he do with those hands? He will remove the clothes with which he, the eternal God, is garbed. He will lay them aside, take up a bowl of water, and use his divine hands to remove the sandals from the feet of his disciples, the scummy, dirty, travel-worn feet of his disciples, and hold those feet in his holy hands, and wash those feet. He's got the whole world in his hands, and he knows that the Father has given all things into his hands. So he takes into his hands the dirty feet of the men who have walked with him day after day. God has hands. This is not metaphorical language. In the person of Jesus, God joined to human flesh, God has hands and feet and eyes and ears, fingers, lungs, nostrils, teeth, legs, fingernails, and yes, even cuticles. And with these, he descends to take up the feet of sinful men. You can understand Peter's protest. His God should not wash his feet. This is unbecoming of a proper God. God should be far removed from their creations, distant from the creatures they created, especially if their creatures have rebelled and set themselves against their gods. God should not become men, should not unite themselves with sinful human beings, should not have human flesh and hands, and should certainly not use those hands to take up and wash the grime away from between the toes of the sweaty, sandal-shod feet of those men who purport to follow them. You shall never wash my feet. So you also would protest if given the opportunity. But then Jesus' words, "If I do not wash you, you have no share with me." These words frustrate Peter's pious pretensions. He relents, but he must have known viscerally that this was all wrong. Washing feet is not what the Christ should do, not what a God should do. This is slave labor, a servant's job. If God descends to take human flesh and then stoops to the lowest position, the foot washing place, the whole economy of human hierarchy is turned upside down. As if that weren't enough, Jesus then asks, "Do you understand what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you were right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. And a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Good grief. As if Christianity weren't hard enough to buy into. Now, do as I have done to you. And as I have done is taking the lowest, most servile position of the foot-washing servant. Love one another like that? This is painful. You'll abide with the command to love others to a point. Love one another any way that you wish is the creed of American popular religion. But love as I have loved you, with a foot-washing, self-deprecating, kind of love? No thanks. You know what it means to love others as you wish to be loved, but to love as Jesus loves you, to love selflessly and sacrificially, that's a tall order. But Jesus gives this new commandment, this mandatum novum, the reason we call today Maundy Thursday, on the night when he is betrayed, given into the hands of sinful men. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. It's simple. Do this, Jesus bids. Love like this, like I do. Love those who can never deserve it. Those who hate you. Those who reject you. Those who are inclined toward your destruction. Wash their feet. Assume the posture of a servant. Or worse, absolve their sins. Give them forgiveness for sins, forgiveness they could never deserve. Love like that. Okay? By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another like this. This new commandment he gives you, love like this. Love incarnationally. Love as flesh among flesh. Love as sinners among sinners. Love those who cannot and will not ever deserve your love. Love to forgive those who are completely unforgivable. Love with your hands. Love in order to remove the filth, the guilt, the shame from your brothers and sisters. Love in order to get the dirt of your fellow man onto your own hands so that he might be clean. Love because your love will never be repaid. Love sacrificially. Love and never expect anything in return. Love as I have loved you, Jesus commands. Okay then, who does that? No one. And yet, as I have loved you is pretty absolute. Jesus loves perfectly and doesn't wait for your love toward others to show his love for you. He loves. If foot washing weren't the extent of Jesus' love, that would be difficult enough to emulate. But he doesn't have hands just to take up his disciples' grimy feet. He doesn't have fingers merely as instruments to get between their toes. He has the whole world in his hands. And he intends those hands to be nailed to the cross. This is his love. Behold a man who loves those who were completely unlovable. Behold a man who loves those who, in just a few minutes, will abandon him, will flee to save their own lives. Behold a man who loves the unlovable, the rebellious, the sinful. Behold a man who loves those who do not deserve it. Behold a man who is God and who, in order to love his creatures perfectly and completely, has become a man. Behold a man who loves the world completely and perfectly in his death on the cross. If you want to love like this, like Jesus did, like he commands his disciples to love, you will never get there relying on your own deficient self-love. If you want to love like this, you've got to be loved like this. As I have loved you is here on the altar. The fruits of Jesus' sacrificial love are his holy supper for you to eat and to drink. Behold a man who gives himself in the perfect act of love. Behold a man who on the night when he is betrayed took bread, blessed it, broke it, and gave it to his disciples as his own body. Behold the man who poured his own blood into the mouths of his disciples to forgive their sins. Behold a man veiled in bread and wine, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins, for life and salvation. This feast of love fulfills Jesus' command to love one another. Here, as you are fed and nourished with the body and blood of the only one ever to love like this, you are strengthened, as the liturgy says, in fervent love toward one another. Disciples who feed together on the same loving Lord are united together in love. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. In order to love like Jesus, behold the man. On his altar, behold the man. On the paten, behold the man. In the chalice, behold the man. In the supper, behold the man who loves you enough to forgive you freely, fully, week after week. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds ever faithful unto life everlasting. Amen.